Let's head out to Charlotte. It's Mad Mike. It's the fan. What's going on, Mike? Why are you so mad?
Hey, Moose, I'm doing well. I'm not mad today. I'm real excited about tonight, about Jonah Tong. How do you think it's going to go?
I hope it goes great. How do you not root for a guy to go out there and be very, very good in his major league debut? You're only able to make a debut once, obviously. His family's going to be in attendance. I hope he goes out there and pitches really well.
I'm really, really excited. One question I have, hopefully when they make the playoffs, who's going to pitch in the playoffs? You're going to have Peterson number one. Who are you going to put number two? I would like to see maybe McClain and not these other guys. What do you think?
Well, I think it's TBD. I think you got to see how guys are pitching. I mean, McClain, based on his three starts we've seen up until, if you're going to do it, like if the playoffs start tomorrow, who's in your starting rotation? I would think it would be Nolan McClain, David Peterson, and Kodai Senga.
Got it. Yeah, that makes.
I don't think McClain would be your game one starter, but you get the point. I think those would be your top three.
Yeah, I really do. I'm just excited about these new guys. I mean, Senga, I'm done with him. Manaya, I don't know. I think that it's going to be really good that these new guys come up, breathe some life, some energy. I think it could propel us to some good things in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and that's where I talked about the dangerous aspect or the fear factor when you're looking at the New York Mets. And I think that is, now, they've got to back it up. Like, last night was a terrible performance. There's no other way to cut it. And, you want to, make the argument that they've turned a corner after sweeping away the Philadelphia Phillies and taking 2-3 against the Braves. And you say to yourself, all right, well, the Mets have looked a lot better. The resurgence of Mark Vientos, McClain, 0.89 ERA, three major league starts. And then last night, they go out there and embarrass themselves against the Marlins and lose the game 7-4 and make three errors in the field, which leads to 500 runs. And all of a sudden, that confidence that he had in the New York Mets. Now, what they can have is have that marinate. They can't have that go out, and they've got to nip this one in the bud, and that's why Tong's start tonight and their performance tonight against the Miami Marlins. See, you look at the Philadelphia Phillies, they just got swept, and what did they do to the Atlanta Braves last night? Well, Schwarber hits four home runs, and they scored 19 runs. And they took out their frustration after the series against the New York Mets, and now they're all of a sudden their lead once again in the National League East is back up to 5 games. So you can't have one bad performance now lead to another. And the Mets need to bounce back tonight with Tong on the mound against Miami.
I think they will. I'm excited about it. Thank you, Moose.
You got it, Mike. And don't be so mad down in Charlotte. All right? Life is good. Keyport, New Jersey. It's Sal. It's the fan. What's going on, Sal?
What's up there, Moose? How are you?
I'm doing great, Sal. How are you?
So am I. I'm in my backyard. It's Christmas in August. I am so happy that Jerry Jones is such a stubborn guy. It's simple as that. Why do you give up a guy? Send him to a team like the Carolina Panthers. Why are you sending him to the Green Bay Packers, which I am ecstatic about? Now we got a clear shot at the Super Bowl. I really think we're a contender now. I honestly do. It's something that's going to solidify the defense. Thank you, Jerry Jones.
Sal, how's your backyard? Do you have a pool? Barbecue? What do you got?
No, we got rid of the pool, and we put down 355 16x16 paver stones. My wife, me, and my son. I have a pitching putt in my backyard. It's a one-hole practice green, which is about 24 feet long and 8 feet wide. I have my fire pit, my gazebo, my porch,
nice.
And some wildcats just.
Well, Sal, I'm gonna put you on hold.
Okay, brother.
Give us your address because Hoff wants to stop by later on today.
Anytime you want, bro.
You can entertain him. Yeah,
100%.
Yeah, he'll bring him and his kids. He wants to know if they can cut him loose.
I wish I could send you guys. I wish I could send you guys pictures of the backyard.
It sounds beautiful, Sal.
Such a great yard.
I mean,
it really is.
You're proud as a peacock about your backyard as well. I get a sense.
My wife and I also.
That's the beautiful thing about owning a home.
Yes, it is. It really is. Well, thank you for taking my call.
You got it, Sal. Enjoy your great Labor Day weekend. And have fun today at Sal. Pitch and putt. He's got a putting green. He's got it all. Pavers, fire pit. He's got it all. I mean, he could cut the kids loose. Drop them off, go back home, fold laundry, put it away. Have your wife teach you. You'd be good to go. I don't disagree with you, Sal. Like, I think yesterday was a good day for the Green Bay Packers. And I do think Christmas came a little bit early. And I think Green Bay went out there. And even though Brian Gutekunst, their general manager, could tell you and did on a numerous different occasions, even as early as, I don't know, or as late as like 3 or 4 days ago, saying, you know, where it's not necessarily just being one player away. The Green Bay Packers, if you're looking at pressure rate and getting after the quarterback a year ago, it was not what you need to be an impact defense. And now they've added one of the premier edge rushers in the National Football League. So, yeah, the Packers to me are one of those teams. Now, the big question with them is what version are you going to get of Jordan Love? If you get a really good version of Jordan Love, if you get the version that he was a couple years ago, then the Green Bay Packers could get themselves out to the Bay Area, you know, north of San Francisco in the Super Bowl this year in February. They could. They could be one of those teams. And I think Micah Parsons is going to be extremely motivated with how everything ended down in Dallas with the Cowboys. Phillip in Brooklyn's up next to the fan. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, Mark, thanks a lot for taking my call. Enjoying my retirement from Gun Hill Depot. It's been a few months now. As a Giants fan,
well,
and I know you're
Popo and the guys over at Gun Hill. I remember, Phillip. There's no doubt.
No doubt, man. You know, during the overnight, you know, talking to you, that was great going, you know, going to work in the morning.
Love
I'm not
it.
Missing what going to work in the morning, but
I'm just talking to you, though. I appreciate the love, man. I used to love the calls from Gun Hill Depot at 3-4 in the morning, no doubt.
Hey, you look, I'm a Giants fan. I know you're a Washington fan. I'm happy. Look, I didn't like Michael Parsons only because he talked too much. That was my, you know, my thing, you know, whether it's the podcast or whatever the case may be, you know what I mean? In terms of his impact on the field, yes, he was a terror against the Giants. You know what I'm saying? We don't have to worry now, in my opinion, about the Cowboys pass rush. As a Giants fan, I don't even know if we're at the bottom of the barrel now in the division. Does Dallas have, you know, two good wide receivers? Yes, but they don't have a running game. I'm not satisfied with the Giants running game either. I wish Jackson Dart could start a lot sooner than maybe they plan to start him, which I don't know when they do. But in terms of Jerry Jones trying to spin this as, okay, all he can do is rush the passer and we can't stop the run. Well, that's been going on for years. So now you can't rush the passer either. So whether or not Dallas wins this, you know, trade, we won't know for another 2 to 3 years.
Well, Phillip, I think depending on what, if Green Bay wins the Super Bowl, they win the trade.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, the Packers are making this move because they feel like they're in a window where they can compete and win a Super Bowl. So if they
it
do that.
It depends on what Jordan Love does. Yeah.
Right. And but they win the deal. From a Cowboy perspective, here's, you want to look at it kind of, you know, through the layers is this. The Cowboys were so inept, whether it be free agency or the draft, that they felt as an organization, what was best for them is to not allocate the money to pay a truly great player in the NFL, but gain the assets to be able to make up for other deficiencies on the roster.
That's how they're spinning it. Mark, come on, Mark. I'm not believing that. If that was the case, then you wouldn't have paid Dak Prescott $60 million.
Well, but here's the deal.
That.
Like, how do you make the argument? How do you go out there and tell me about stopping the run with Kenny Clark last night if you're Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones? Like, how do you look at it? Listen, for a Giant fan, I mean, Phillip, you don't care. You're enjoying retirement. You know what? The
exactly.
Sun is shining. I mean, you don't care. It was a great Thursday night.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jerry Jones,
you don't have to deal with number 11 as a Cowboy anymore.
That's right. Jerry Jones and Cowboy fans, their feelings are hurt. That's what it is. And they're just trying to spin it. Anytime, how can you be a Cowboy fan, right, and not be hurt today? You have to be. And I heard a lot of Cowboy fans, including Jerry Jones, trying to spin it as, oh, we're a better team. You're not a better team this year. You're not going to the playoffs. And those draft picks next year, who knows what they're going to turn out to be. The Giants have failed on first-round draft picks. Now, Cowboys have been pretty good, but we'll see.
Well, and so have a lot of other teams, and you're not wrong. And then they add the caveat to, well, we might be able to use some of that draft capital to acquire talent that can help us this year. Well, we've been thinking about this for a while. The idea, and you heard Jerry mispronounce Micah's name a number of times, calling him Michael, not Micah, and then corrected himself on one occasion. But, you know, listen, he's 82. But, you know, it was a tough listen to last night. In the end, the Giants made out. I mean, in the end, if you're Phillip in Brooklyn, if you're a Giant fan, and you can go out there and say, well, the Giants are no longer a laughingstock. I heard Lou Gower making that point yesterday. And, you know, there's other people that, you know, the Cowboys have taken the reins. Well, too, I mean, the Cowboys are still going to be competitive this year. It's not like they're all of a sudden going to be a doormat. Like, I don't think they're all of a sudden going to have a top five pick in the NFL draft. The different, the aspect of it is, though, they're a significantly weaker team. And I like Kenny Clark as a player. He's just not nearly as impactful or as dynamic as what Micah Parsons presents when you're trying to put together a defense, and what he can do and how you can line him up all over the place and how he can get after the quarterback. To be honest with you, that's the key. You know, for the Giants, we've talked about lack of identity on defense. Well, this year, defensively, the Giants are going to have an identity. The Cowboys just lost a big piece of their identity on defense. The Giants, you know, win in this deal. They're not dealing with the Green Bay Packers. We're not talking about the Giants winning a Super Bowl this year. We're not even talking about the Giants winning the NFC East this year. But what you want to see from the Giants this year is the competitiveness against really good football teams, where it looks the part. Because there's one thing where, you know, stats, final score tell you something. It doesn't necessarily tell you all the whole story. And as we're watching, you know, Jet and Giant football throughout the course of the year, each week, 17 games, 18 weeks throughout the regular season, you know, and you're watching the Giants, you want to come out of it where the Giants this season have shown significant growth as an organization, where they're better off for 2026, where you can start to think about making the postseason consistently, where you can look at this team being relevant consistently. That's what you want to see. That's the goal. Not the one-year outlier that we saw 3 years ago where they went to the playoffs in Daniel Jones and won a playoff game in Minnesota and then went back into the abyss the next 2 years. Dallas can rationalize it all they want. They can tell you whatever they want to tell you, and they're going to spin it and say that they're better off not paying a great player. You don't want to let really talented, great players leave the building. And we saw it a year ago when Saquon left in free agency. Do we not? It was a long season. Not only with the Giants' performance on the field, but what Barkley did for the Philadelphia Eagles on the field.